Have you ever had an experience, maybe you were taking care of children, you're babysitting, maybe you're even, you know, doing Sunday school or working in children's ministry, you're doing something where you're taking care of somebody else's kids, and, you know, maybe they're misbehaving or something, but you end up having to say, you know, you can't do this, or you need to do this. You're giving them some sort of direction. And child looks at you and with indignation in their face and anger, they say, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my parent. Maybe that was you as a kid. Maybe you remember that saying, I don't have to listen to you. You're not my parent. And as the person in that situation, as the adult, there's a little bit of anger that rises up in you. And you're like, yeah, I'm not your parent, but you're going to have to do this anyways. You end up having to exert your authority in that situation. Authority is an interesting thing. I think now more than ever, it's something that we struggle with. We have a hard time knowing who has authority and who doesn't. We have a hard time recognizing authority. When I go on the internet and I research different things, I mean, there's a million and one pages out there of all sorts of information, and anybody can put anything on the internet. And sometimes you're looking at stuff, you're researching things, and you're wondering in your mind, okay, what authority does this person have? What expertise, what knowledge do they have to write these things? Is it just their opinion, or do they have true knowledge? Do they have true authority to write these things? Now more than ever, anybody can kind of put their opinion. You can be a nobody, and you can be famous on YouTube with whatever stuff you want to put out on the internet. Authority is an interesting thing. I think that the younger generation, they struggle with this thing of authority. I think some of it has to do with the fact that, like, those who are in authority, their lives are more public than ever now, right? Every single little thing someone in authority, whether it's a police officer or the president of the United States, the prime minister of Canada, it doesn't matter who they are. Whatever they're doing, it can be recorded and it's going to show up on the internet. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And so it's hard to potentially respect that authority that is there. But sometimes authority ends up being exerted even when you don't want it to. Like when you're speeding down the road and there's that police officer that catches you going over the speed limit and the lights are on. And the little thing in your mind going, how in the world can I get out of this? Can I like beat him? Can I hide? Can I turn off on a side road? You know, I think of all like the TV shows back in the day, you know, like the Dukes of Hazzard and Roscoe Pico train or whatever. I mean, they're racing after the Duke boys and they're always getting away. Doesn't seem very realistic. So I typically pull over. Typically. Yes, I always pull over. Yeah, I do. I pull over. And there's an authority there. I don't like that authority. That's going to write me a ticket, but it's there. You know what, we're going through this letter that Mark wrote. Fascinating letter. I mean, he was a young man. He would have been one of the followers of Jesus. Not 12, but he would have been one of the followers of Jesus. And he was a disciple of Peter. And history says that Peter is the one who kind of dictated to Mark these stories. And so Mark, as we're going out talking about in previous weeks, he's talking about the entrance of Jesus. The last time I preached, we talked about Jesus and him coming on the scene and saying, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's a new kingdom on the scene. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. And there's this aspect, he's using this word repent, which means like change your thinking, change your mind, change how you've been viewing reality. Change how you've been thinking, which changes your actions, because there is a brand new kingdom. Now, typically people are like thinking the kingdom of Israel, and God thinking, Jesus was thinking so much bigger than just the kingdom of Israel. Jesus, like, there's a brand new kingdom on the scene. It's going to be so different. It's going to act different. It's going to be nothing like you've ever seen before. Brace for what that is going to look like. But the question is, and I think potentially was in the minds of the people who were listening to Jesus when he first showed up on the scene, was, what authority do you have? You're talking about this brand new kingdom. You're telling us to repent and change how we've been thinking. What authority, Jesus, do you have? And I think realistically, in 2018, that question is still there, right? Jesus has a lot of things to say. He has a lot of things recorded. He has a lot of things that he did. And the question is, what authority, Jesus, do you have to speak into my life, even 2,000 years past? And so we're going to read this story. It's Mark chapter 1. It starts in verse 21, and it says, Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, which is a Saturday, he went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Interesting thing about this letter that Mark writes is that Mark doesn't write a lot about the words of Jesus. If you read Matthew, the letter of Luke, if you read John, those writers talk a lot about the words of Jesus. Mark doesn't talk a lot about the words of Jesus, but he talks a lot about Jesus' actions. And in this situation, he doesn't say exactly what Jesus is saying, but he shows up, he's teaching in the synagogue. And people are like, this guy is different. This guy's different. This guy teaches with, like, real authority. Real authority. In the Message, Eugene Peterson translates the story, and he says it like this. He says, they were surprised at his teaching. So forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religious scholars. You see, back then, oftentimes with the rabbis and the scribes, the religious leaders, when they taught, what they would do is their authority came from what other peoples had taught. They would quote scribes, they'd quote teachers, they would quote rabbis from the past and from the present. And they say, this is what this guy said, this is what this guy said, and this is why you need to do this because of the authority of these teachers. Jesus is interesting in that his teachings, that he shows up on the scene and he doesn't do things like that. He doesn't say, this is the truth, and it's you need to remember that this rabbi from 20 years ago or 50 years ago said this. In fact, if you read in through the Gospels, oftentimes Jesus would say, you have heard it said, referring to the past. You have heard it said, but I say to you. Basically, he was saying, Yeah, you know this information from the information you've received in the past, but I'm giving you something new to chew on. I'm giving you a new rule, a new law, a new thing that will guide your life. And you know what's fascinating is that oftentimes Jesus would refer to the teachings of Moses. I mean, he was stepping on people's toes because the Jewish people, of all the teachings, of all the writings that they respected most, it was Moses that they respected. He was ultimate authority. The things that Moses wrote in the first four books of the Bible, that was like ultimate authority. And Jesus would say, yeah, you've heard it said. And he would quote the teaching of Moses. But he said, I say to you. And they're listening to him and they're like, man, this guy has authority. Jesus had authority to teach and to direct. So far different than anybody else. Authority to teach and direct. These people had sat under so many different teachings. And Jesus shows up on the scene like, man, this guy is different. This guy is different. He has authority. Now let's continue. In verse 23, it says, suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, why are you interfering with us? Some translations say, what business do we have with each other? Why are you interfering with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus reprimanded him, be quiet. Come out of the man, he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders, and the news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. Jesus had authority to teach and direct, but he also had authority over evil forces. He had authority over demons. It's a fascinating story. I think within our Western culture, stories like this make us squirm in our seats. From our worldview, we don't necessarily believe in the spiritual world in this way. We don't necessarily believe in a Western worldview and in evil spirits. If you go to other parts of the world, even today, even in 2018, majority of the world still believes in the supernatural. They still believe it. They see it in an everyday circumstance. And in this period of time, these people had noticed and they'd seen the supernatural and they believed in it. They believed in the demonic. In fact, it's really, really fascinating that when archaeologists go back and they excavate old Jewish communities, they discover actually how superstitious they really were. They discover how superstitious they really were because they did not know how to deal with the demonic. Even though they had the whole Old Testament, the law and the prophets, they weren't sure how to deal with the demonic. And so they would come up with their own methods. They had potions. They had incantations. And they had amulets that they would use to ward off evil spirits. Yes, the Jewish community did that. But they did it differently than other communities, other cultures, other ethnicities. They believed in the power of different names in the Bible, whether it was Moses or Elijah or David. They would use names as power. They'd use scriptures as power, quoting certain scriptures, believing that those scriptures would have power over them. Even Bible stories. And so the rabbis and the religious leaders of that time, they were trained up in how to deal with these demonic forces. Whether it was giving them an amulet that would have some sort of Bible passage in it that would fight off evil spirits. They would have things in their homes that would ward off evil spirits. And their stories of how they would fight off evil spirits within their ancient writings. Jesus shows up on the scene and he teaches. And like, man, this guy has authority like we've never heard before. But it wasn't just the things that he taught. It was what he did. These evil spirits pop up in the synagogue, no less. And Jesus isn't quoting a rabbi, he's not quoting scripture, he's not using the power of the name of Moses or Elijah or any other religious figure. He has no amulet, he has no incantations, but with the power and the authority of his word, he casts out the demon. So simple, so powerful. He just tells him to shut up, be quiet. And he commands the demon to leave. And the demon has nothing that it can do. He has to leave. Maybe you have a hard time believing in this stuff today. You know, within our worldview, like I said, we have a hard time at times believing in the supernatural. We like it as entertainment. So when you turn on our TV, we watch shows like Supernatural and all sorts of stuff. Maybe you've watched like The Exorcist. I think there's even a TV show that's come out, The Exorcist. And it's entertainment for us, but we don't. It's like, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? Many of you know, for many years, I lived in the Middle East and I had a business there. And even in a modern country that I lived in, and it was modern, you know, people believed in the supernatural, and they had the evil eye, and they would put the evil eye all over the place to protect themselves from evil forces that were coming that would want to hurt their families. I remember one day I'm sitting with one of my staff, and as I was getting to know him better, he says to me, "Matt, have you ever experienced a demon?" I was like, What do you mean, Ahmet? He says, "Well, ever since I was a kid," he's like, "every so often I would be woken up in the middle of the night, and I would see demons coming into the house. I'd see demons at my bed." And as he's telling me these stories, you can see the fear within his heart. As he's talking about these very real experiences that he's had as a child, and even now as an adult, with demons coming into his house, experiencing demonic forces. And this is something that's a regular story amongst the Kurdish people in the Middle East. It was really neat. I had a great opportunity to share with him and tell him about Jesus, and tell him, "You know what, Ahmet, I have experienced things like that before, and I do believe in it, but let me tell you, I have no fear over it. Because the Jesus that I know and the Jesus that I serve, he had complete authority over those demonic forces. And that same Jesus lives in me. And that Jesus that had authority over those demonic forces has given me authority because he lives in me. So I have no fear over that." And he listened to my stories about Jesus and about his authority. And he was amazed at it. He was surprised at it. He's like, "Man, I've never heard anything like that before. I've never heard anything like that before." Do demonic forces still possess people today or still influence people today? I believe they do. I've experienced it. I think there's an aspect within our Western culture, because we don't believe in it, I don't think that Satan oftentimes reveals himself in that way within our culture, because he doesn't have to. Because of our general unbelief, we do not believe in God. We do not believe in the supernatural. He's like, "Man, that's perfect. That is exactly where I need you to be." And so he doesn't reveal himself in those ways. His desire is to steal, kill, and destroy and keep us away from God. But you can go to other parts of the world where they do believe in that stuff, and those demonic forces show up and they reveal themselves. Satan has a really good method of making us the supernatural realm, the spiritual realm, making us believe that we are okay. Mark writes the story and he says, Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God, and this is his authority, and this is how he's demonstrating that kingdom. When the kingdom of God shows up, when the kingdom of heaven enters into a situation, there is authority to teach and direct. There is an authority over evil spirits that you've never seen before. When the kingdom of God arrives, it has authority, and it has authority to set people free from bondage. And as we're going to see in the scripture coming up, it has authority to heal. One of the things I noticed about the story is that, you notice how this demon pops up in the synagogue? Demon shows up in the synagogue. It's kind of like church. Synagogue was the place where the Jewish people would come and they would hear the teachings from the law and the prophets. It was of religion. And that's exactly where that demon-possessed guy was. That's where he was and where he was influencing people. This demon said, from the New Living Translation, he says, "Why are you interfering with us? Jesus, I got a good thing going on here in this synagogue. I got my place here. I'm doing something here. Jesus, why are you coming here? Why are you coming and interfering with what I'm doing? Why are you interrupting my gig here? Jesus, stay away from me. I recognize who you are, but please stay away." You know what? We can recognize the authority of Jesus, just like that demon did. We can recognize the authority of Jesus and yet not have anything to want to do with him. Don't interfere with what I'm doing, Jesus. And so the big idea that I want to throw out to you guys today is that Jesus has the authority to interfere in our lives. Jesus has the authority to interfere in our lives. Interfere is an interesting question, is an interesting word, because I don't think that Jesus actually interferes. Interfere is kind of a negative word. Jesus wants to have access into our lives. He wants to affect our lives. He wants to change our lives, all for the positive. But the reality is kind of like that demon. Sometimes when we look at Jesus and his authority, in reality, we kind of see it as interfering. Jesus, I have a good thing going. I go to church. I believe. And I do believe in the authority, but don't interfere with some of this other stuff. Jesus wants to interfere in our personal lives, you guys. There's things going on in our personal lives where he's like, I want access to that. And we're going, Jesus, don't interfere with that. There are things going on in our sexual lives where we're like, Jesus, you have authority, but don't interfere with that. This is my own thing, Jesus. Don't interfere. Don't interfere with my sexual life. There's stuff going on in our private lives at home and in our relationships with our wives, with our husbands, with our kids. And it's ugly. And it's like we just want to deal with it on our own. And we're saying, Jesus, don't interfere. You stay far away. Stuff with our financial lives where Jesus wants access to. And there's an attitude sometimes that comes up within us and is like, no, you don't interfere with my financial life. Don't interfere with my financial life. Jesus, why are you interfering with us? If we continue in verse 29, it says, after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away, so he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Here you have these disciples who are involved in Jesus' life and ministry, and they're traveling with him. And you know what they did? You know what Simon and Andrew did? They invited Jesus into their home. Jesus wasn't just in the synagogue, the place of religious teaching. But Jesus was invited into Simon and Andrew's home to impact the life of their family. Jesus wants access into our homes. Jesus wants you to invite him into your home. Jesus has authority, but the interesting thing about Jesus is that he doesn't enter in if you want him there. Right? Jesus is a gentleman. He has the authority to force his way in, but he doesn't. He says, I want you to invite me in. I want you to invite me in. Simon and Andrew invited Jesus into their home. Are you willing to invite Jesus in? To give him full access to absolutely everything and not see it as interfering? Jesus had authority to preach and teach and direct. He had authority over the evil spirits. And what we see in this scripture that we just read is Jesus had authority to heal the sick too. So let me go back. I mean, Mark is writing about Jesus, and he's writing about the fact that he's preaching about the kingdom of God. He's talking about repenting. And then he takes through this journey of saying, look at the authority that Jesus has. It's not just words. It's just not another teaching. But he has authority that's different from everybody else. And let me demonstrate to you how authority operates. Jacob, where are you? Can you come? Thanks, man. He's going to give me some background music because it sounds... just makes it sound more anointed. So we need that. Do you know this? These stories of Jesus that you hear, sometimes it's really easy to separate it from our day-to-day lives. And you listen to it and you're like, that's really neat. That would be really cool. But it's hard for us to really like believe that that's for today or doable today. These stories that Mark wrote down in his letter, Mark, I don't think, ever intended for those stories to be just a nice bedtime story. But Mark knew, and the early disciples knew, that this authority that Jesus had to affect these things, that authority still continues. And it still continues in our lives. Jesus gives us that authority. Did you know that? This authority that Jesus possessed, Jesus wants to give that to us. In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2, it says this: one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So Jesus operated this in this authority, and then he's like, now I want to give that authority to you guys. He's giving that authority to his 12 disciples. The Bible actually tells us that he sent out 72. So he sent out more than just the 12. It wasn't just the 12 disciples who had that authority. There was a whole group of followers that he also gave that authority to. And then, at the end of the gospel, Jesus is ready to ascend up into heaven. He's like, now I want you guys to go and make disciples as well. I'm giving the authority to you, and now you're going to give the authority to others. That authority doesn't come from ourselves, but it's as we give him access into our lives and we allow him to come. And it says within the scripture that he wants to come and live in us. Jesus, in fact, he said, man, I can't stick around here because if I do, the helper can't come, referring to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He's like, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to come, and he's going to live inside of you. The Spirit of Jesus is going to come and live inside of you, and he's going to give you authority to operate in that same way. Authority to speak my words and to give my teachings. So it's really, really neat. As I stand up here today, it's different for me. Because when I talk about the words of Jesus, there's a different sense of authority that I feel. It's not the authority of Matthew Schultz, but it's the authority of Jesus within me that says, man, he's given me the authority to say this stuff. He has. So there's power in that. And maybe you're here today and you've experienced the demonic. Maybe you're even embarrassed to even like speak about it because you're like, it sounds kind of kooky and weird. But you know what's amazing is that Jesus wants to come and live inside of you. It gives you authority over those things. It gives you authority over those things. For you to speak and say, get out of here. In the name of Jesus. It's interesting, there's a story in the book of Acts where there are these guys that heard about Paul the Apostle. He was going out casting out demons. And they saw and they heard about Paul doing that. And they're like, man, that has something. We got to figure out exactly what he's saying. Because if we can figure out his words and his authority, we can do the same thing. And they're going out and they're encountering people who are demon possessed, and they're trying to cast out demons, and they're saying, in the name of Paul. He goes on that these demons actually came and they jumped on these guys and beat them up. And they're like, man, we recognize the authority of Paul. We know him. Because the authority that's invested in Paul by God. Paul walked in the authority of Jesus, and they're like, we recognize Paul, but you? We don't recognize you. Who are you? They got a beat down. Because they thought it was just like if they could just have the right words and incantation. Paul didn't have the right words, but he had the authority from Jesus. He has authority. He gives us the authority to pray for the sick and be healed. Gives us that authority, and I believe in it, and I've seen it. Does everybody always get healed? No. But it's interesting, if you open up your mind, you read the scriptures, Jesus healed a lot of people. He didn't heal everybody. But the same authority that Jesus had to heal people, he gives that to us. And so you can pray for somebody in the authority of Jesus and pray that they're healed. So this is my takeaway question for you today. These are my takeaway questions for you. Are you giving God the authority in your life for him to interfere? Interfere in a positive way. Let's take away that word interfere. And say, Jesus, I just give you authority to come into my life and to affect every single part. Maybe there's areas in my life that you want to affect, that you want to change. And I'm going to remove that barrier and I'm going to allow you. The other one is, have you accepted the authority he has given you to demonstrate his kingdom? A couple weeks ago, I spoke to you guys about your identity in Jesus. Do you guys remember that? If you were here, your identity in Jesus. That you are a child of God. The scriptures declare it, the Bible declares it, Jesus said it. You are a child of God. You're not an orphan. You're not someone who's trying to grovel your way into the kingdom, but you are a child of God. If you accepted Jesus into your life, you become a son and a daughter of Jesus. You become a son and a daughter of your Father, your Heavenly Father. And as that, there is an authority that he gives you. It's like, you're my child. You have authority. My parents live in Kelowna. And they have their own house. And they have a door on that lock. And no one can get in except them. You know what? They gave me a key. I have a key to my parents' house. Why? Because I'm their child, their son. So I can go to Kelowna anytime I want, and I'm going to gain access in their house. And if I did that, they wouldn't be like, what in the world are you doing? You have no authority to be here. They'd be like, oh, it's great that you've come. We weren't expecting you. That's the authority that I have as their child. And Jesus gives you that same authority. Maybe you're here today and you're like, you've seen Jesus, you've seen the church as just an interference. And maybe you're willing today to say like, man, I want to remove that barrier. I want to invite Jesus in, kind of like Simon and Andrew invited Jesus into their house. Like, Jesus, I want to invite you into my house today. And you can do that. You can do that. Jesus is like, man, you are welcome. And you might be sitting there going like, I'm not sure if I believe all this stuff yet. And I don't know if I can make that decision unless I believe all of that. You talk about the Bible. I don't even know if I believe everything in the Bible. And I think Jesus would say to you, that's okay. My own disciples didn't even fully believe me when they first started following me either. Come follow me and check it out.